Welcome to Rob and Tony's Cinematic Adventure. I'm Rob Wilson.
And I'm Tony DeQuano.
So, Tony, what movie comes to mind when I say Sylvester Stallone?
Rambo.
What movie comes to mind when I say Sylvester Stallone and Carl Weathers?
Rocky. Yeah. It's Rocky.
That's right. We are doing Rocky today.
And we're actually doing it because of Carl Weathers.
Yes, we are.
Who passed away recently.
Yes, so we decided to do it in his honor.
You know, we could have done Happy Gilmore.
We could have. We
could have done Predator.
We could have.
But Rocky's a good one to do.
Yep.
So, the timeless classic movie that's, what, over 50 years old at this point. I think it's one of those movies now that combine, you know, I mean, granted, these other ones are even older, but truly stand a certain test of time. That it's hard not to find people at any age that know the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, even if...
Even, like, all the sequels, people, you know, there's images in there that kind of still stand in pop culture.
Yeah. Right? Even if someone's never seen the movie, they know of it. They know, they can tell, if you show a still from Rocky, if you show Stallone standing at the top of the Philadelphia Art Museum steps, you know, cheering, they know what that movie is.
Right.
You know, they know what that scene's from.
It's so steeped into the city of Philadelphia now. It's part of the fabric of that city, Rocky.
Yeah.
Then, you know, there's just something about boxing movies. Like all his opponents kind of still stick in the public mind.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, whether it be memes or quick clips, you know, on YouTube, right? You know, I think of Ivan Drago, right?
Yeah.
Rocky IV. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Rocky IV. Like, I know some people that are true devotees of the entire series.
Rocky. Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
I'm not either. But I do.
Like,
I
Rocky
have.
Rocky IV, if he dies, he dies. Yeah. Right? It sticks in the mind, you know. And,
now, Rocky IV is the one that's in the most.
I don't think they realized that when they made that movie, they were just kind of thinking of filming a type of rags to riches story. That it would become such a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Rocky IV is the one that I've seen the most out of all of them. I think the only ones that I've actually seen all the way through from start to finish were Rocky I and IV. The other ones I've seen bits and pieces, like enough to piece it together to have seen it an entire time, just not in one sitting.
Gotcha.
I haven't seen Rocky Balboa yet.
I have seen Rocky Balboa, actually. Because that was the... It was kind of the last of the Rocky ones before the Creed kind of reboot. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Rocky Balboa with one of our guest hosts, Tim, because he's a Philly guy. His family's a Philly, you know, they're Philly people. Saw it together. Theaters. So, you know, I don't think I've seen it since then. I've seen the first Creed, but I have not seen the subsequent Creed movies.
Yeah. See, I've seen part of the, I've seen maybe half of the first Creed, but I haven't seen Creed 2 or 3.
I like Creed. That was a good movie. Yeah. And it's an appropriate one to talk about that because it deals with the sun.
Yeah. I mean, I own Rocky Balboa because I bought the set with all six Rocky movies a while back. So I have all the Rocky movies. I just haven't watched them all. I haven't sat down and watched them all. And like with this one, the first Rocky, I didn't actually watch it all the way through until 2011, 2012, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I...
Like sitting down and watching it from start to finish.
A little bit before that, I first watched this the entire way through. And between then and then watching it recently for this podcast, I think I saw it one other time in its entirety.
I think that might have been the same with me. I think I watched it one or two more times.
That, I can say that it's not a film series that I am in love with or have a certain affinity towards. Some people do, and it's excellent. I get that. Mm-hmm. Our roommate Steve was a big Rocky fan.
Rocky is his favorite movie.
Yeah. We had a Rocky poster in our apartment.
Yes, we did. That was his.
Yeah.
That was his Rocky poster.
And I can definitely see, you know, and understand, I guess it's probably the better way of saying it. I can understand people that would list Rocky as their favorite movie.
Yeah. In fact, I reached out to Steve to see if he'd want to be a guest on this episode, but schedules don't always work out.
Schedules are tough.
So,
But yeah, so it's kind of funny. Like, I've seen it plenty of times, you know, at least parts of it, because it's hard to escape it being on TV at times, right? You know, it's, you know, I feel like, you know, the Rocky movies, James Bond movies, certain movies that, you know, or movie series that you can find them on TV fairly frequently.
Yeah.
Right. And so maybe, like, as you see pieces of it and maybe you haven't seen the whole thing, right? Like, I could say there's especially the Roger Moore Bond movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've seen any of those from start to finish in one sitting.
Same here. I've seen bits and pieces of them. I've seen, you know, enough of just like the Rocky movies. I've seen in enough, you know, viewings of bits and pieces of them to be able to piece them together and have seen the whole movie, but just not in one sitting. But yeah, so yeah, the first time that I saw Rocky all the way through from start to finish in one sitting was, yeah, about 2011, 2012, somewhere in there, after I bought it and watched it shortly after that. And yeah, I only watched it like once or twice since then before watching it again for the podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, Rocky IV, I've definitely seen a few times from start to finish. Mostly because, you know, it was a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon and it was on TV and there's nothing else on. So, hey, let's watch Rocky IV. It's on. So,
mm-hmm.
It's never been one of those series that I've been absolutely crazy about. I mean, I have nothing wrong with the movies. They're good movies. They're enjoyable.
Yes, I have nothing wrong with them either.
You know, I'm not one of those people who's obsessed with Rocky.
Yeah, I think the first time it really entered my like consciousness, I guess, was really about Vicky. Burgess Meredith,
mm-hmm.
right? So
he's had an interesting career.
A copy of Santa Claus, the movie, with John Lithgow and Dudley Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays like this really ancient elf type character, right? And my parents owned it on Laserdisc. And I remember probably being like five or so or six and like watching it. My dad was telling me about in the Rocky movies. But also, that age, I would have been aware of, you know, he was the Penguin and the mm-hmm. Batman TV yeah, series, right?
It's Batman series.
So, you know, yeah, it's interesting. It does have an interesting career because he's played some very iconic characters.
He was also in an episode of Twilight Zone where he was the guy who loved reading and ended up being the last person left on Earth. And so he had all the time in the world to read and he broke his glasses.
Probably one of the top five greatest Twilight Zone episodes.
Yes, absolutely.
Terrific episode. I think he's done several. He did several episodes, but that's like the main one.
Mm-hmm.
The big one.
Yep.
Yeah, four episodes. He did four episodes of Twilight Zone. And then he also, I think he was the narrator for the Twilight Zone movie.
Oh, was he? Okay.
But Rocky,
Rod Serling like, was the narrator for the Twilight Zone movie?
I'm looking at, he's uncredited for it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess, was Rod Serling still alive when the Twilight Zone movie came out?
He's been dead.
Okay.
That's why.
That's probably why he wasn't the narrator for it.
I guess today that kind of stopped them from
police
isolation. Scatman Crothers was in the Twilight Zone movie. I've never seen the Twilight Zone.
I haven't either.
Like, John Landis directed that, right?
I know that some of the cast died making it because the helicopter crashed right on top of him. Yeah, if you don't know about that incident, Google it.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, it was quite a disaster.
Back to Rocky, though.
This isn't a Twilight Zone episode, so it's a Rocky episode.
The movie that shot the Sylvester Stallone fame. So.
Yeah, which he wrote.
He wrote, and they didn't really want him in the lead because he was on that one, right? But, like, why would you want... Like Jack Nicholson.
Before this,
it's the 70s.
Before like this, Nicholson all he had done was porn.
But like, it would not serve the story because he needed someone that looked like he could be living rough as a failed boxer on the streets of Philadelphia.
Which, right? Stallone looked like that. Stallone, you know, he fit that profile. And this and movie
Roger
was
Ebert
was
his
such...
reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Ebert in his review was like, he said he reminded him of a young Brando. Right, the Brando, like one of his first roles was on the waterfront, where he's just playing a dock worker, essentially, and a blue collar guy. And I think sometimes Stallone's not the most talented actor in the world, but he fits the Rocky character really well, especially like in this one.
Yeah, yeah, he does. And this movie was so successful that the porno that he starred in before changed its name from Party at Kitty and Studs to the Italian Stallion.
I think, you know, that's the interesting thing about the movie, right? And they reference it several times, right? Because he's the white guy, right? Italian Stallion, right? You know, at this point, it's the 1970s, so he's probably really more the grandson of immigrants, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, he's fighting a black man, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's celebrated as the most famous boxer, greatest boxer in the world at that point. And, you know, older viewers will understand this. Younger viewers may not. But at one time, boxing was huge.
Yeah. Yes.
In this country.
Yes.
Like, football is easily the most popular sport right now.
Yep.
Right?
But there was a time when it was boxing.
Yeah. At one time, it was just like baseball and boxing. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, and I think, you know, a big part of that was it's easy enough to kind of see the, you know, the people that the famous guys really did have like these humble kind of rough beginnings, right?
You know,
and even at that, like they become like really famous and people still really gravitated towards them, like, you know, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier. So,
which Joe Frazier had a cameo in Rocky in this movie.
He did. But. So that's kind of a good background to have in mind if you haven't seen Rocky.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't seen Rocky,
yes,
as I was about to say.
If you haven't seen Rocky,
there will be spoilers.
Yes. Spoiler alerts. If you have not seen the movie and you don't want to be spoiled, pause the podcast, watch the movie, come back and listen, because we are going to be talking about every bit of this movie, beginning, middle, and end. So you have been warned. If you don't mind spoilers, keep on listening.
So what struck me watching it, because it's been a few years and I've seen it, is that it definitely has a 70s aesthetic to it. Right?
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, especially 70s, urban 70s aesthetic, I should say.
Yes.
Right? Because you can watch other movies that are the 70s that might take place more like in the suburbs, right?
Although, if this movie had taken place, like if it was when it was made 10 years later, then in those scenes at the beginning when Rocky's walking around Philly, you know, interacting with all the urban kids, kids out on the stoop and all that stuff. If it was made 10 years later, he'd be breakdancing with them.
Yeah, he would. But, you know, you get the sense that it's a very working class area of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You know, I live in Baltimore, and I see pictures of Baltimore kind of from that time era. You get the sense of where this is. I mean, even like the downtown being very different. Like,
yeah.
You get into the 90s, city downtowns become slightly different than they were in the 70s. You know, it's not the Julia Roberts New York, you know, or downtowns that you see in some of the romantic comedies of, you know, the late 20th century.
Yeah.
You know, I think Taxi Driver, Warriors, Midnight Cowboy, some of these other movies that take place, you know, in the city in the 70s.
Yeah.
Right? It definitely has that vibe, but at the same time, there's a full, I don't know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it definitely carries a heavy in terms of tone, there's
a realness to it.
Yeah, there's a realness to it, and like it also kind of has like an older vibe as well. Maybe that's the boxing aspect of becoming real, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I could see this being a movie made in the early 40s as well.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, being kind of resonant in the same way. But yeah, you know, I think towards what you're saying, like, because of the being filmed on location, you know, it gives me that edge. And even, like, the actors just bring it in so well, right?
Yeah.
You know,
they all
whether
fit.
It be Talia Shire or Burt Young, mm-hmm. even some of, like, the background people in, like, the bars or in the boxing clubs, right?
Yeah.
The people in the stoops.
It's well cast. This movie is very well cast.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it gets back, like, they didn't want Talia Shire at first, right? They want Susan Sarandon and Cher both audition.
Huh.
I think it's hilarious.
I think they made the right choice with Talia Shire.
Susan Sarandon was deemed too pretty for the character. Now,
that had to make Talia Shire feel great.
Cher was too expensive. Cher was at least, you know, she wasn't as, you know, she wasn't as ugly as, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be pretty damning to hear that Cher is pretty.
Yeah.
anyway. Yeah. No, she's perfect for it. And
obviously, yeah, she plays that shy, introverted character so well.
Yep. You know, she was probably, I mean, you know, people have known her from the Godfather movies at that point. And she was somewhat of a known commodity, but she's really in the background in the Godfather movies. This is a much bigger role for her. And they have the shyness, and she's shy, but she's strong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, she comes out of her shell during the course of the movie.
Yep.
And yeah, she gets to the point where basically, you know, at the beginning, she's so shy that, you know, Rocky, as much as he cares about her, is sort of walking all over her.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the movie, she's telling him what's what. So,
yeah. And then Burt Young's her brother, and
Paulie.
Brothers, and did he do anything? What was he in before? Yeah, I know he played some football, but this is why he's kind of a good choice to play a boxer, right?
Yes.
He's athletic. And...
not just any boxer, but the top boxer.
Yes.
The world heavyweight champion.
Yeah. I didn't realize this. He's got an uncredited role in Magnum Force. But no, this is really like his kind of first headlining role in the movie. Yeah.
And then, of course, after this, he'd go on to do Predator.
Yeah.
And
Happy Gilmore. He's also, I know he was in Arrested Development.
Yeah. And he was in The Mandalorian.
Yes.
He was great in The Mandalorian.
He was in The Sasquatch Gang.
Yes, he was. He was in The Sasquatch Gang, which has another title, The Sasquatch Dumpling Gang. Yeah. Same movie. But yeah, he was the cryptozoologist, the Sasquatch expert who tasted animal dung.
Interesting. I've never seen it.
To tell that it was a Sasquatch. Interesting movie.
There's an episode of Starsky and Hutch, which makes me want to try to find an episode of Starsky and Hutch.
When he and Arnold greet each other in Predator. And they do their little handshake and then just flex on each other.
I always like, when you isolate that clip for Predator, they think, oh, this is a happy movie. If you just saw that clip, you had no idea anything else around it. No,
yeah,
it's not a happy movie, but he's terrific in this role. And
yes, he is.
The other thing I kind of like about it, though, is like it's kind of the authenticity of it, the realism of it. But, you know, it's a rag to riches type movie, and it's a little larger than life in a lot of aspects of it. But it never feels overly like saccharine or sweet. It all feels earned, so to speak. But what's funny about his character in this is like, you know, you can buy him as being like super athletic. But you know, you don't really get a lot of scenes where you get to really get that sense of him being super athletic, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't get his training stuff, and like, you know, all his focus on is like the promotion of it, right? But you know, I guess, you know, there's a certain cynical take on the boxing world of the 70s, right? Where you're promoting things, it's also about earning the money as opposed to necessarily just about the fight,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, yeah, boxing is an individual sport, right? It's not football, basketball, baseball, soccer.
Yeah, it's not really a team involved.
And then, you know, it's different than like in other individual sports, I guess, like golf, where like, you can perform well by yourself, but you're kind of at the mercy of how others perform.
Yeah.
The one-on-one aspect. Like, I guess tennis is kind of like that. It's a one-on-one aspect. There's the duel. But yeah, like it seems like there is this aspect of things in this movie where, yeah, the purity of the boxing is like, and lost a bit.
Yeah.
And maybe there's an aspect with it playing into that, because how it starts, you know, you have, you know, Rocky, he's kind of just like a club boxer undercard, and you can tell, like, you know, he's probably well past his prime, and he's just kind of middling, and he just earns a little bit of money from it, but he also earns money being, you know,
being a heavy for a yeah.
You know, because he's beat people up.
Yeah, the bookie he works for gets mad at him because he didn't break a guy's thumbs.
Right, he's a bit too nice for it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the guy he works for is not that mean himself, that he doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, he'd easily find someone else to do his dirty work, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I mean, his driver is more of an asshole than he is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the scene, he goes to the docks and he finds the guy he's supposed to collect from, and he only has like, you know, a little over half the money that he owes the guy. And he takes that, and you know, he's kind of rough with them, and then it's like, no. Yeah. And he tries to reason with his boss about, like, oh, he's having a tough time.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that sense, you know, that it carries throughout the movie. Like, yeah, there's the working man of these, you know, cities. Like, they fall on hard times, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, the promise of the American dream has not fully worked out for them.
No. I mean, they're just trying to catch a break.
And so, and you know, that's why it's appropriately kind of set. Because, you know, after we see that kind of that first, you know, that opening fight with Rocky or the Italian Stallion, since that's really moniker he goes by when he's in the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Apollo Creed, the heavyweight champion of the world, wants to fight on what, New Year's Eve?
Yes, on New Year's
1975.
Day.
1975.
New Year's Day.
Yeah, right.
Because it was for the bicentennial, which wouldn't the bicentennial be July 4th?
Right. I guess they just wanted to kick the year off as a celebration.
But they keep on saying it's a bicentennial fight, but it's a few months early for
that. 6 months ago.
But
like,
yeah.
They chose the right city, Philadelphia, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you know, that's not typically the place where you see, like, boxing matches. Like, Vegas is where you see a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
You know, or if you're going to do outside of Vegas, you think, yeah, do it in New York City, right? Or Washington, D.C., right? Now, like, with Philly, right? That's, you know, where the Declaration of Independence was signed.
Yeah.
So, of course, do it in Philadelphia.
Yeah. So, Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed, he was supposed to, you know, have this big fight for the bicentennial on January 1st, 1976.
But his opponent injures his hand.
Yeah, so he can't fight.
And this is, you know, it's what, 5 or 6 weeks out from the New Year's
Day. It's five weeks out, because they go on to, you know, all of the other opponents that they reach out to try to fight. 5 weeks is not enough time for them to train.
Right.
So.
And then he gets the idea, how I get a local contender challenge.
Yeah.
Right, you know, like, yeah. And he's right. And
again, it's not a title fight. It's a publicity stunt.
Right,
you know, it's completely a publicity fight. It's not for any sort of title or anything like that.
He's going to make money off of it.
Yeah.
So the more that he can have the attention on himself, why not?
Yeah. So they're looking through, you know, the files of all the local boxers, and they come across Rocky. And
he likes the name Italian Stallion. Yes. That's one of the things that really sticks out.
He likes the name Italian Stallion. And that's really the reason he picked Rocky, because he was known as the Italian Stallion. So, and then one of his guys points out that, you know, Rocky's a southpaw. You can't trust a southpaw. Southpaw meaning he's left-handed, because they're unpredictable in the ring.
And I guess that's true. I don't know. I don't follow boxing.
I don't either. But yeah, I'll take their word for it. But yeah, so I mean, southpaw basically got that name because early on in boxing, there was a left-handed boxer who, when he was standing in the ring, his left hand was facing south.
Yes.
So they call him a southpaw.
Rocky goes through this.
Yeah.
The skating rink later in the movie.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of the skating rink, just a little aside here, a little, you know, rabbit trail to earlier in the movie. Every time that Rocky, every day when Rocky would go home, he'd stop by the pet store where Adrian was working, because he had a big crush on Adrian, played by Talia Shire. And so he'd go there sometimes in the morning also and flirt with her. And, you know, he'd have a new joke for her every day, you know, trying to make her laugh. It's actually really sweet.
She's, you know, very, like I said, very shy, very quiet, a little mousy.
Yeah.
He likes the dog that they have there at the pet shop.
Yeah. But, I mean, you could always tell that you know, she looked forward to his visits, even if she wouldn't show it just because she was so shy. But her boss or coworker, or whoever that was, I think it was her manager, you know, would sort of tease her about him. But
right.
But yeah, every day he'd stop by that pet store and visit with Adrian a little bit. But yeah, so back to Apollo. He chose Rocky mostly just because of his name, because he went by the Italian Stallion.
He likes the idea of how an Italian and Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean, discovered America. You know, it all kind of fits within his mind of promoting this fight.
Yeah.
Because it ultimately is about more about the money for him than the actual fight.
Yeah. And he's positive that any of these local boxers he can take down, and, you know, within a couple of rounds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think he has the idea, like, he's not going to embarrass them and make it a one round thing. He'll make sure he gives people a little bit. Wants to give people a little bit of a show and respect them enough. Yeah. That,
he'll put them down in three, but.
Cause you know, that's one of the things I kind of like about the character. I think one of his plays was like, yeah, you know, he's a cocky dude, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's like overly arrogant an unlikable point.
No, he's not.
Right? You know, he's a likable character.
He's cocky, but he's earned that cockiness.
He has earned that cockiness. You know, and it's funny, like, the movie itself doesn't get that larger than life until the fight.
Yeah.
When you see how he comes into the ring.
Yeah. We'll get to that. But, yeah.
But... You know, he doesn't want to completely embarrass the person. You know, he has his motives for it, but you know, he's not going to be someone that... Sometimes when you see kind of like the big guy versus the little guy in these, like, especially like sports movies, the big guys a lot of times are super unlikable.
Yeah.
That's not the case here.
Which, I mean, then also plays into the next few movies, too. You know, that if he was a completely unbearable character in the first movie, you wouldn't want to see him again.
Right. Well, and that's the subsequent recent ones, right? You had the Creed series that's kind of come off of it, right?
Yeah, that follows his son.
There was always this respect between Rocky and Apollo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as you said, like, you know, he's kind of in his fights in local Philly fight clubs, right?
And his manager is, you know, the guy that runs the gym that he boxes in is Mickey, played by Burgess Meredith.
But he's kicked him out of his locker.
Yes, he's kicked him out of his locker without telling him. He just showed up to the gym and there's somebody else's lock on his locker.
Yeah, there's probably a couple dozen guys that are training in this gym. At this point, like, yeah, he's a journeyman. And, you know, we find out later that doesn't think Rocky ever played up to his potential as a fighter. I think he also seems like he does not like that Rocky has decided to also be like a loan shark.
An enforcer for the loan shark. Yeah.
No, it's like, yeah, there's no reason for that. So.
Yeah, because Mickey's got too much love for the game.
Yeah.
Or for the ring.
Like, Burgess Meredith, he's just such a good actor.
Yes. He is like, so good in this movie.
The trace so much in the eyes, like these eyes that you can see, like, there's this sense of him looking back into, like, the glory days of boxing.
Yeah, I mean, he's this tiny little frail old man. But when he talks about back, you know, 40 years ago when he was in the ring, you look at him and you know, if you didn't know better, if you didn't realize it was a movie and he was an actor, then you would believe him, that he was this great boxer back in the day.
So, but then it's not long after that when Rocky gets approached, you know, by the promoter for the fight, how Apollo selected him. So this is, you know, he has a conversation with Mickey the Gym about why kicking him out of his, you know, the locker. And Rocky's like reluctant, right?
Yeah.
You know, he goes down. He goes to this nice office. And
yeah, he's like, how am I supposed to fight the heavyweight champion of the world? You know, he's understandably reluctant.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, you know, they're offering him like $150,000.
Yeah.
Which, like,
which this in is, 1975 money,
a lot of money. 50 years ago, right?
Yeah.
1975.
It was the end of 1975, but so he wouldn't be getting paid until 76. But still, the dollar didn't change between November of 75 and January of 76. So
yeah, $886,000 today.
Wow. Almost $1 million for one fight.
Yeah. And when you see where he lives, right?
Yeah, he lives in a small little studio apartment.
Like, you know, and it's really like it's within like a row home that's been divided in.
Yeah.
Not a big row home.
Uh-uh.
Like, it's a standard city row home.
Yeah.
That's two levels, essentially. I guess, you know, there's a basement also. But it's probably three or four little studio apartments in this. Like, he lives on he lives on the upper floor of it and probably, like, the back of it, right? The back room.
But it's a tiny little studio apartment.
In the front part of it, right?
Like, the studio apartment I used to live in was like 550 square feet, something like that. And it was bigger than what he lives in.
Yeah. This is probably about 200 square feet.
Yeah.
There's a bathroom. There's a bed and enough room for some counters and a table.
Yeah. A small table that he can put his turtle bowl on with his turtle's cuff and link that he bought from Adrian.
But, you know, he's got darts. He's got a little dartboard, you know, on the bathroom door.
Yeah. And he's got a fish also. He's got a fish that he puts down on that table with the turtle so that they can hang out.
And he's got, you know, his poster of Rocky Marciano, right?
Yes.
His boxing hero. But yeah, like, it's interesting because, like, I guess this is after Knights of the Throne, or maybe it's before, the night before. But, like, you know, he's just kind of walking home and, like, the corner, and there's a bunch of people that know his name, and they're just all kind of hanging out on the corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he talks with them, and he just kind of walks down to the end of the block.
Yeah.
But, you know, apparently, I think that home's still there. It's still not in a, like, very great area of Philadelphia, apparently, looking at it.
You know, then there's also, like, that girl that's hanging out with, that the, girl. With those
it's
guys.
Such a funny scene.
You know,
he's trying to give her advice.
He's trying to give her advice, and, you know, gets her to get away from those guys because they're not going to
don't use this foul language. You know, and, like,
they're bad influences on her. So he walks her home, and and then the next day she's back hanging out with them.
I think the end, you know, basically gives him the finger at the end.
Yep.
But, you know, and again, you know, I think it's another aspect that points towards, like, you know, where that neighborhood has gone, the direction.
Yep.
Right? You know, the blue collar aspect of the city, it's starting to die. It's already dead. And, you know, we talked about Adrian, you know, she lives with her brother who works at a meatpacking plant, right?
Yeah. Paulie.
And, like, I never, you know, we know it's, like, 5 weeks before the thing because, like, this is even really before they start dating. He's over at their house and she tries to make a turkey.
Well, that was supposed to be their first date. Because
that's right.
Yeah, because Rocky was talking to Paulie, who's Adrian's brother. And, you know, Rocky and Paulie are friends. And So Rocky's been trying to get Paulie to set him up with Adrian.
That's right.
And so Paulie tells Rocky that, you know, come over on Thanksgiving, you know, have Thanksgiving dinner with her. And
right.
Yeah.
But then Paulie throws out the turkey.
Yeah. Because he neglected to tell Adrian that she had a date. And so Adrian's going on about, I have a turkey in the oven. And so Paulie throws out the turkey so that she can't have the turkey for Thanksgiving dinner. She has to go out with Rocky.
Burt Young plays him so well.
Yeah, he does.
Got a temper.
Yep.
Doesn't think things through very well. He later wants to get a job as an enforcer. The loan shark too.
Yep. Oh.
But, you know, their first date ends up being at the skating rink, right? You know,
and yeah. So Rocky takes her over to the skating rink 10 minutes before they closed. So the guy is, or no, it's right after they closed because it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So they closed early that day. And so
it's just like the manager's in there and he's just cutting the ice with the Zamboni and making sure things are all right. And
so Rocky talks to him and the guy agrees that, you know, if Rocky pays him $10, they can be out there for 10 minutes.
Rocky kind of lies. He's not well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Says he's sick.
Says that Adrian's sick, and yeah, so out of pity, the manager agrees to, you know, if Rocky pays him $10, they can spend 10 minutes on the ice.
You know, they get skates on Adrian, and Rocky doesn't get skates on.
So he just runs next to her. He sort of jogs on the ice right next to her while she's skating.
They just talk.
Yeah. So, you know, they do a lap or two around the rink.
Not a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and then Rocky takes her back to his house. She doesn't want to go in, but he sort of coaxes her into going in there. She's a proper lady. She doesn't want to, you know, go in and be taken advantage of. And, you know, Rocky, he doesn't, I mean, yeah, he pushes to get her inside, but once they're inside, he doesn't, you know,
he's very respectful.
He's very respectful. He doesn't push her past her comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, he tries to, you know, impress her with his muscles and whatnot, but
he's also a studio apartment that's the size of a shoebox.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's only going so far.
Yeah.
But like, you know,
he introduces her to his turtles, to Cuff and Link. And yeah, then she reminds him that she sold them to him.
It's a very natural, like, scenario, right?
Yeah.
You know, especially for people that kind of know each other in some tangential way like that.
So, yeah.
Like, yeah. No, yeah, I sold them to you. And eventually they kiss. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, from then on, they're an item.
And, you know, he's over there often. And, you know, there's plenty of scenes where you get Paulie getting upset. But, you know, he starts also meeting Polly at the meatpacking place, right? Because mm-hmm. this large freezer's full of meat, and that becomes the place where he can kind of train since he doesn't really have a spot in Mickey's gym.
Yeah. So instead of hitting a heavy bag, he hits a slab of beef.
Yeah. And it works.
Yeah. But at first, Polly's, you know, upset with him because, you know, he's breaking the bones. He's breaking the ribs on the meat. But then once the publicity for the fight starts up, Polly's more than happy to let him beat his meat in his locker.
Right. But it takes a while, too, right? Because, like, you know, one of the other scenes you see where he starts training and he's dogging, like, he gets winded quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's definitely out of shape.
And he's a smoker.
He might be strong, but like you said, he's a smoker. He drinks and he doesn't do heavy duty training, right? And even Polly, after Adrian and Rocky kind of get set up, right? He wants to be his corner man, right? You know, because he's thinking, oh, you know, he's thinking his own way about how he's going to make money, right? And so, but he's like, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have Mickey that comes in after that once he takes it also. And
again, and
initially, Rocky does not want to accept Mickey's help.
No, he doesn't.
Mickey comes to his apartment, a famous little, you know, apartment like we've been talking about. He walks up the steps and he's in there. And, you know, eventually Rocky just kind of goes into the bathroom and Mickey's just talking him through the door. And
yeah.
Mickey leaves. And, like, again, like, I don't know. Like, I think about, like, you know, Burgess Meredith again. Like, you can just see this total dejection in him, right? Like, mm-hmm. he sees this also a real opportunity for himself, like this last kind of hurrah, right, of like real success. Like, he's got other guys working for him, but like he realizes like some of them are talented but not talented to the degree that they're ever gonna fight quite like what Rocky's having, right?
Mm-hmm.
The chance of being in that ring for him, like he understands that, and you know, Rocky's still hurt because he feels rejected, you know, from using his space in the gym, right?
Yeah.
Then, you know, eventually Mickey, like, leaves, and then Rocky comes down and just starts yelling him down the street as he leaves. So, and eventually, though, they'll make up.
And Mickey will be his corner man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then Polly continues to try to make money off of Rocky's name, and Rocky's completely fine with it. You know, he says, you know, Polly can make as much money off of his name as he wants to. He's not going to stop him, which, mm-hmm. come the later movies, ends up not being a very good thing, but...
Like, you know,
in this movie, you know, it's what it is.
There's the scene where like they're in the meatpacking and like the news is there, local news, they're there, they want to interview Rocky. Mm-hmm. Paul, he keeps trying to talk to the news, like, you want to talk to me?
Yep.
It's like, who are you?
Yep.
And then he's standing in the background. Speaking out from behind.
Yeah. Just like a kid who's in the background on the news.
Yep.
Trying to get a screen time.
But eventually, you know, and it's funny though, because after that, like, Polly, like, kind of gets jealous and scene where it's a rough scene where, you know, they're at Polly and Adrian's house. And Rocky and Adrian are just kind of watching something on TV, and Polly comes home, and then he gets like upset with Rocky and starts yelling at him, and then he gets yelling at Adrian because mm-hmm. she's lost her virginity, and you know, yeah.
And it's that's one of those times when you can tell that Adrian is growing as a person too. She's coming out of her shell a little bit because she actually defends herself a little bit.
Yes.
You know, she's not mm-hmm. so much of a pushover.
Yeah, no, like she says, like, you know, you completely rely on me. Mm-hmm. I cook for you, I teach you all of this. You wouldn't know how to take care of yourself, essentially, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
If you didn't have me here. But thankfully, they eventually make up. But, you know, Polly's character is always, you know, an interesting one.
Yep.
And then a little racist, a little sexist.
Little?
Burt Young plays him so well. You kind of, you know, you like the character well enough, despite some of those flaws.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I think by the time you see him in, like, Rocky Balboa, I think, you know, he's, like, a lot of people can at the end of their life, they can see some of the errors of their ways.
Yeah.
And pet for wrongdoing.
Yeah.
That means they have to kind of live with,
He really screwed the pooch in Rocky IV, though.
Yes.
Spoilers for Rocky IV.
Dolph Lundgren is in Rocky IV.
Yes, it is. Yes, yes. He is. I must break you.
So during all this, yeah, then Rocky just keeps training, and then you know you get the very famous scene of him running through the city.
Yep, training while Gonna Fly Now is playing.
Yes,
this movie has a good score.
Oh, the score!
This movie has a good score. It is a great score.
Score and the original songs to it, iconic. And it's funny because like I thought, you know, the scene there that was going on the now affectionately called the Rocky Steps, right?
Yeah.
You know,
which, I mean, the first time I went to Philly, I ran up those steps. I think everybody does. Everyone runs. I think everybody does the first time they run up the steps.
It's kind of funny, like, you know, it's kind of done, like, in a montage, though. It's like, yeah. You know,
it's a training montage.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, it's not done as a real, like, scene.
No,
right? You
it's know? Just the it's end like of the montage.
Yeah. It's become so iconic.
It's just showing it's that, because you know.
The music, and then just how it's shot. You know, with the early morning of light, and
it's the end of his training, of the training montage, where like at the beginning, you know, like you were saying, he got winded real easy.
Yeah. Now
and so the end of it, you know, he can run through the city, then run up the steps, and you know, he's cheering because he made it through his run.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's an iconic shot with him like jumping up and, you know, cheering at the top of the steps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bill Conti did the score.
He did not win the Oscar for it, though. It was the movie won 3 Oscars, right? Best Picture, Best Director, Best Film Editing, but did not win Best Song.
It didn't win Screenplay? For some reason, I was thinking it won Best Screenplay.
Yeah, Stallone was nominated for it. Sylvester Stallone has a screenplay
nomination.
Oscar nomination.
Yeah, because he wrote this movie. But, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking he won.
Yeah, no, Network won.
Okay.
What's his name?
Patty Chayefsky. I knew it won Best Picture.
The other one that was that year was All the President's Men, but that was adapted screenplay.
Okay.
This was original screenplay. This Rocky was the original screenplay, but lost the network. But The Omen won Best Score.
Okay.
And Rocky was not actually nominated for score. He also had Obsession, All Gypsy Wales, Taxi Driver, Voyage of the Damned. And then there was also, at that point, they still had the Best Original Song Score. That wasn't there. Yeah, but best song that year was From a Star Is Born. The theme from A Star Is Born.
Interesting.
But Gonna Fly Now did not win it. Which is interesting because, like, you know, there's some movies that songs that win best song at the Oscars that become such famous songs.
Yeah, I mean, Gonna Fly Now is iconic.
Gonna Fly Now.
Everybody.
Eye of the Tiger is also.
Yeah,
iconic.
Eye of the Tiger also, but that's not until Rocky 3 and 4.
Yes.
Which, interesting thing, Eye of the Tiger was actually written for Karate Kid.
Yes.
Which came out the same year as Rocky III. And then they decided to go with You're the Best instead. And so Rocky III got Eye of the Tiger.
Well, Bill Conti did both.
Yes.
Both series, Karate Kid and
The Rocky. Yes, Karate Kid and Rocky. Yeah.
So, you know, you can see that there. And he won one Oscar. He also did For Your Eyes Only, since we were talking about, you know, James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. But from what I understand, he's one of the least liked composers for Bond.
That's the whole thing.
For Bond movies.
Yeah, Bond composer, you know, theme songs, right?
Evidently, his score for Your Eyes Only is completely different than the scores for all the other movies. So,
okay.
But that doesn't mean he's a bad composer. That doesn't mean he's bad at scoring movies. He did a great job with Rocky. He did a great job with Karate Kid. He did a great job with other stuff that he did. You know, I mean, like we were saying, the score for Rocky is iconic, especially Gonna Fly Now. It's everybody has it in their workout mix.
There's Rocky III. Rocky III nominated for one Oscar. Best song, Eye of the Tiger, which was not written by Bill Conti, though.
No.
He wrote the score for Survivor. The movie, but not write anything with the song.
Survivor wrote Eye of the Tiger.
So,
and performed it.
Anyway, back to Rocky. So, yeah. So, you had the Rocky step montage. Without Going to Fly Now, and then meanwhile, all this is going on. Apollo is still working on kind of promoting the fight. He's not really that concerned with training for the fight. You know, he's keeping himself in shape, obviously.
But. Yeah, but he's not concerned about it because, you know, he's confident that he's going to drop Rocky in round three.
Yeah. So you have Adrian, Rocky, this is like the night before fight, and then Rocky kind of sneaks out during the middle of the night, and he wants to do the Spectrum, right? So the time would have been where, you know, it was the Flyers and the Sixers would have played their games, right? It's the indoor arena, long since been replaced. But, and, you know, he's feeling nervous about the fight, naturally.
Yeah, he gets up, he climbs into the ring, and he's sort of looking around, and
he's looking up at thinking about what's going to happen. Both of them, right? You know? Yeah. Like, this is the first time, like one of the few times in the movie, again, we're talking, you know, most of the movie, you know, talked about before, like it's got this gritty nature to it, right? You know, there's the docks.
Yeah.
There's the crummy apartment. There's a meatpacking plant, right? There's a boxing club gym that's not that glamorous, right?
And
now we're like in this nice, you know, you're in dive bars, right?
Yeah.
And now you're like in this arena with this really nice boxing ring. And
you know, they can sit thousands of people. And,
you know, it's the first time, well, you know, one of the first times you really kind of see that huge contrast.
Yeah, it's all hitting him, you know?
Yeah.
the gravity of the situation is hitting him. And, you know, he's going up against this world champion boxer who has never been knocked down.
Right. No. I mean,
that's one of the big things about Apollo is he has never been knocked off his feet in the ring. You know, he's undefeated, never been knocked down. It's the David and Goliath situation, you know? And so he's decided that he's not going to try to win. He's just trying to go the distance. He's trying to go all 15 rounds.
Yes.
Because he figures if he can last all 15 rounds against Apollo Creed, he can do anything. So right. he's not even concerned about winning. He just wants to last the entire fight.
It's even interesting to see then that demonstration of his own build of confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to this guy, I didn't want to fight at first. I was content just to do some pub fights and not be a particularly good loan shark enforcer, right? Or collector, right?
Yeah.
You know, being perfectly mediocre in a lot of different ways. You know, but he was brave enough to actually end up going out, Adrian, right? And continuing that. So, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah, they helped each other.
Georgia, right? Like, she gives him the dog, too, right?
The dog that he would always go and play with at the pet store. Yeah, she brought him home.
So, yeah. So, you know, he goes to the Spectrum, begins to lose confidence, and then so he goes back to Adrian. He just says, like, you know, I was determined to go the distance.
Mm-hmm. And when he was standing in the ring, his big concern was that his shorts on the banner were the wrong color. Because he was going to be wearing white shorts with a red stripe, but the banner had him wearing red shorts with a white stripe.
And the people, you know, out there, the effort, you know, the nosebleed arena are going to look at this anyway. Yeah. But, you know, it's such a small detail, right? But, it's a little thing like that makes the movie really.
And also, you kind of understand his concern about the people in the nosebleeds seeing the banner and seeing the wrong color, because all he can afford to do if he was at a fight like that was sit in the nosebleeds. So
he's not sitting courtside, ringside.
He's thinking of, you know, the people like him who are at the fight. You know, he wants to be able to have them see an accurate portrayal of what's going on in the ring.
Yeah, no, there's a pride that he has. Like, there's a pride to, you know, Adrian, what she has, right? Yeah, you know, I always kind of think, like the wardrobe they picked for her, right? You know, it's like, again, like, I can't imagine she and Polly have that much money, but what they have together, she's able to get herself, you know, like, a nice coat, nice hat for the Billy winner, and to at least be able to have something respectable like that.
Yeah.
You know, do they really, I don't know if they ever get that much into their backstory about, like, their family background. Parents.
No, they don't. I don't think so. I don't think they do in later movies either.
Yeah. They live together.
Again, I'm kind of spotty on the other movies except Rocky IV.
Right.
So if we're wrong and they go into Adrian and Polly's family background,
Rocky aficionados out there,
let us know.
No. Some people can tell you the entire backstories of any character from Star Wars or Star Trek or Lord of the Rings. And maybe you're one of those Rocky aficionados that knows the backstory of the bartender at the dive bar that Rocky goes to.
I mean, we are lovers of movies, but that doesn't mean that we know every bit of information about every movie.
We might even have...
There are some movies that we are damn near experts about, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's few and far between. So,
So good New Year's Day. Now that's the fight. Adrian's there. The mob boss is there. The lone shark. Right. What? Is Polly there? Polly listening. Polly's there, right?
Yeah, Polly's there.
You know, we cut back to the bar, right? And you know, obviously Apollo comes in first, and I love that he's dressed as George Washington.
Yeah. No, Rocky comes in first. Rocky comes in first.
Is he going first?
Rocky that's comes right, in first because yes. he's got an ad for Polly's.
Right, because they're asking about what it is, and it's the ad for the meat packing plant.
Yeah, on the back of his robe. And so Rocky goes out there, and then once Rocky gets in the ring, then Apollo comes out dressed as George Washington.
Which, you know, he got
on a boat,
right?
Dressed as George Washington crossing the Delaware. On a big fake boat.
You know, yeah, lean into it, right?
Yeah. And then he takes off the George Washington.
Did not sign the Declaration of Independence.
No, he didn't. But yeah, so then
the general of the Continental Army.
Yep. And then the first president. But yeah, so after he comes in looking like George Washington, then he takes off the George Washington stuff and he's dressed as Uncle Sam. And that's how he gets into the ring. He's got the big red, white, and blue top hat and jacket and his flag shorts.
It's perfect though, because like most of this movie is not over the top, and then you have that.
Then you have that. It's just great.
But it's perfect. It's not out of place. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Completely expected. It's such a contrast to Rocky using a classic boxing robe.
Yeah. He has this humble entrance, and then you have the world heavyweight champion coming in flaunting his, you know,
by the way,
status.
You know, whoever manages that meat packing plant, ought to give a lot of respect to Pauly to have the idea to have
Put his ad on there.
Yeah. And but Rocky didn't get paid for that, right? I think he just allowed him to wear it.
Yeah.
Like they paid for the robe and that was it.
Yeah, they paid for the robe because they were putting their ad on it. And then because that was the whole thing earlier when they were telling Rocky that Polly's trying to make money off his name, and he's like, let him make as much as he wants off it.
Probably actually a decent salesman. Yeah. He actually cut down the temper a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got some good ideas up there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny thinking about it now, like, because, you know, the commentators and the announcers, like, they're trying to read, you know, Rocky's, you know, coat and thinking about it. Now it's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, it's thinking about how fights are today. Full sports spectacles.
Yeah.
It can even be a thing back then.
Yeah. And so they, you know, fight starts and Apollo's just pounding on Rocky. You know, Rocky is swinging, but he's not hitting. He's not connecting at all. Apollo's too quick for him. And so he's just laying into Rocky, but he's taking it. Rocky's taking every hit. You know, he's blocking what he can, but the ones that connect, he's taking them like a champ. And then eventually Rocky gets one good hit and knocks Apollo off his feet, knocks him on his ass. And that's when Apollo
finds him off his guard, overconfident.
That's when Apollo realizes that he might actually have to work for this.
You know, and like it stuns the announcers and everybody else. Cause like, we said earlier, like he's never been knocked out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's like the end of the first round. He, you know, Paul's able to like get up, you know, off the mat. And yeah, now he knows he's, like you said, he's going to have to take everything more seriously.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was great that it was Rocky's first hit.
Yes.
Like the first time he punched Apollo and knocked Apollo off his feet.
And, you know,
I guess that's what happens after he's been beating his meat for 5 weeks.
Oh my. And then, you know, the fight just continues on, right? You know, you get shots of both getting their good shots in, both of them struggling at points, right?
Yeah.
There's times where both of them feel like, looks like one might get the upper hand and then not get the upper hand.
So it sort of goes through a little montage of the different rounds. You know, at one point, Rocky gets knocked down for almost a 10 count, but he gets back up. And
like everyone's just telling him to stay down.
Mm-hmm. But he's determined. He's determined. He's going to make it to the end.
there's a point in that pause, like, oh my, we gotta keep doing this, because he, like, you know, he realizes he's gonna have to fight for his life. He, you know, he doesn't want to obviously kill Rocky. You know, but, you know, he doesn't want to lose, you know, his balance. You can kind of see it in his face, because he sees that Rocky is determined to see this entire thing out.
So, you know, Apollo is realizing that he needs to step up his game, and,
you know, Rocky ends up breaking one of Apollo's ribs at some point. He's struggling to breathe. And then, you know,
Rocky, his eye starts getting swollen. You know,
swollen eye, and the cut above the eye, right, where you only see on one eye now.
So, you know, they cut the swelling so that, you know, he can see out that out of that eye. And, you know, it gets into round 15, the final round, and they keep going until the time runs out. And it's got to go to the judge's decision on who won.
And it's a split decision.
And
which means that technically, because he, even though it was an exhibition, since Apollo was the title holder, he retains the title.
So technically,
is the victor.
Technically, Rocky lost.
Yes.
This was a sports movie where the hero lost, technically.
But he gained what he wanted.
But exactly. That's where the whole thing is.
He's not even paying attention. What's good about it is, like, he's not even paying attention to what they're saying.
No.
Because he just wants to fight Adrian.
Yeah, they ask him what he wants now, and he just starts yelling Adrian. He starts yelling for her, and Adrian, she comes running in from
the crowd, right?
Yeah, so then, you know, she
gets up to the ring.
She gets up to the ring,
and embrace. And then Rocky and Apollo, they embrace also at the end of the
day. Yeah.
They say this is going to be their rematch, right? Spoiler alert, it's not true.
Yeah, there's still more movies.
That's Rocky 2.
Yes, that's Rocky 2. Which we might do someday on the podcast. Not next, but we might do it someday.
But yeah, so, yeah. And then, you know, they embrace, and that's the movie at the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, it ends right there. I enjoyed it. I every time I watch it, I enjoy it. You know, just because we're not super fans of Rocky doesn't mean that we don't enjoy watching it from time to time.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a well done movie. You know, again, like, I love the aesthetic of it. Like, and Stallone's great in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, really, you know, at the beginning, like, you asked about, like, what movie you think about Stallone, I was jokingly saying Rambo, and some people might kind of say that.
Yeah.
You know, like, Rambo and Rocky are kind of his two characters that most people associate him with, you know. Sorry for the Judge Dredd fans out there.
Or the Demolition Man fan.
Or Cliffhanger. You know, I love Cliffhanger. Cliffhanger's a great
Stop
movie.
Stop him, my mom will shoot. Cliffhanger has... Over the Top. If you want a good arm wrestling movie, watch Over the Top.
Yeah.
Where he cheats in every match he's in. Because going over the top is very much cheating.
Cliffhanger is a good the one that's really good. Anyway,
John Lithgow is the villain in that one.
Yes, he is. It's which is crazy. John Lithgow's a villain.
It happens.
Villain you might expect him to be cerebral, but like
John Lithgow was a villain in Dexter.
Yes. Well, that's more the villain where you might expect him.
True.
The villain.
True.
Like an actioner, like. Maybe not. Anyway, maybe we'll do Cliffhanger at one point. But anyway, you know what I love about Cliffhanger? It's just the beginning of Cliffhanger is great.
Yep.
Woman plummets to her death.
Although,
the Rocky Mountains.
Another Stallone movie we didn't mention, Daylight.
Daylight. Oh, yeah. Daylight. Rocky's obviously, though, not obviously, but Rocky's like the role he's really meant for.
Yeah.
And, like, he wrote the screenplay for it, too. So, like, his mind is in there with the character.
Yeah.
So.
Now he was excellent in this movie. He was excellent in it.
Oh, The Specialist. How did I forget about The Specialist?
Oh, yeah. Escape Plan. And, I mean, of course, there's the Expendables movies.
Yeah. But, like, it's kind of like all the characters in the one.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at most of those expendable characters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Copland.
Yes, Copland.
There's Driven. Right. So, yeah. Oh, well, recently, you know, Guardians.
Yes, Guardians right? 2 and 3.
So, I like him in the Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Rocky is... He's synonymous with Rocky.
Yeah.
You're Rocky, you think Stallone.
Yep.
Hard to separate them out. He's even, it's funny, like, even when I saw Rocky Balboa, I mean, that movie's almost 20 years old at this point. Easy to think about.
Yeah.
You know, he was so terrific in it. And no, I was thinking of Rocky Balboa. I was thinking about, he was good in that, but it was the first Creed movie where he's training Creed.
Yeah.
He's just so terrific in that movie. He got nominated again for that, for Best Supporting Actor. So he's one of the, I would need to look into it. I think he's one of the few people to be nominated twice for the same role in different movies.
Okay.
Al Pacino was nominated for Michael Corleone in multiple movies. And then maybe that someone else is in there, but yeah, like he's the two of them, I think there might be one or two other actors or actresses that have been able to accomplish it.
Okay.
No. So, but yeah, it's those movies are 40 years apart.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he just, whenever he gets into that role, he knows how to do it. And again, there's some people that it's like their favorite movie or favorite film series, and that's excellent. More power to you. I understand. And it's funny, like, you know, that each of the characters, you know, each of the fighters, you know, they kind of become part of the cultural lexicon, right?
They do. Yeah, so if you absolutely love Rocky, because then we're doing this for you.
Because, like, we love Carl Weathers.
Yeah. We do. Yeah, Carl Weathers is an amazing actor. He was great in everything he was in.
And, you know, Apollo Creed's the first, you know, his first big role and one of his most iconic roles, one of his two or three most iconic roles.
Yeah,
so he's also great as Chumps.
When he passed away a few weeks ago, and, you know, we were trying to figure out what movie we want to do next, and we thought, well, why not do something with Carl Weathers?
Mm-hmm. And we haven't done a whole lot from, you know, we've done Star Wars, right? And haven't done a lot of movies from the 70s, so.
Yeah, so. So yeah, it was either Rocky. Yeah, that's one of the main things that we chose Rocky over Predator, because we hadn't done much from the 70s. And really, because, you know, he, spoiler alert for Predator, he survives all the way through Rocky. The first Rocky.
But, which is, you know, again, you know, Predator, like, seeing, you know, when they're greeting each other in Predator, like, oh, it's happy now, like, they all die. There was some guy.
Yep. So
Rocky has a happy ending.
Yep. So yeah, that's Rocky. Got anything else? Anything else you want to say, Tony?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we said it all. At least all that's on our mind at the moment. But yeah, so we are going to stick to the 70s a little bit longer for the next movie. This one was 76. We're going to move up a couple of years to 78. And we are going to do Superman the movie. Christopher Reeve, Margot Kidder, Gene Hackman.
Ned Beatty. Marlon Brando.
Yes. Terrence Stamp.
There's so much to say about it. Because, like, you know, Terrence Stamp, like, and... You know, such a brief prologue, but anyway, it's, you know, it's Superman the movie.
Yes, Superman the movie.
TV series, or it's the movie.
Yeah, directed by Richard
Donner.
You will
believe a man will fly.
Yes, you will believe a man can fly.
There's a lot more we can say about it, but, you know, we'll wait until that episode.
So,
another 70s movie that has a very 70s aesthetic, but we'll touch more on that.
Yes, we will. If you want to connect with us on social media, we are on Facebook and Instagram and Threads. Those are all Rob and Tony's Cinematic Adventure. It's all spelled out. The and is not an ampersand like it is in the title of the show, but it is spelled out A-N-D. So Rob and Tony's Cinematic Adventure. We are also on Twitter or X, and that is R&T Cinematic. And we are on Letterboxd. That is Cine Adventure, or Sign Adventure, however you want to pronounce that, but it's C-I-N-E Adventure.
I need to update that one. I've been kind of on a big, not big, but like a media fast in some ways. And so,
yeah.
And
yeah, I've noticed
some of the, I let that part slip through a bit. So,
but. Yeah, I've noticed Letterboxd hasn't really been updated in a while, but.
So I need to do that.
But yeah.
I got two more weeks. It's been a three month fast. And so.
Okay. And then also, if you want to send us an email, Rob and Tony Cinematic Adventure at gmail.com. Once again, the and is spelled out, A-N-D. We are available on just about every major podcast app, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Pocket Casts, Deezer is one of them, TuneIn Radio. We're on a bunch of them. So, yeah,
I'm not sure on TikTok.
We're not on TikTok. But yeah, so if you listen to us on Google Podcasts and you're looking for somewhere to find us after Google Podcasts closes down their service, there are plenty of other options. So chances are whatever one you switch over to will be on, hopefully. But if not, then it won't be hard to find one that we are on. So,
correct.
So anyway, I hope you have been enjoying our podcast. We love that you're listening. And go ahead, leave us a good review. That's, you know, leave us a 5-star review if you feel like we deserve a 5-star review. And, you know, the reviews are how we move up in the standings and move up in the search and stuff like reviews, that.
Likes, comments, and tell us your favorite Rocky movie, if you have a favorite Rocky movie.
Yeah, or just tell us your favorite movie.
Not discuss all of them, right?
Yeah, if you have suggestions for movies you think we should do on this podcast, let us know.
If there's actors or actresses that we haven't really touched on that you want to see us talk about, suggest a movie, go ahead. Especially newer movies. We're thinking about, you know, what newer movies do you want us to talk about?
Yeah.
You know, movies that, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now, when they're a little bit older, they're going to stick in your mind still.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, a lot of our movies that we've been doing so far are, you know, 20, 30 years old or older. But that's because, I mean, they're the movies that we grew up with. They're the movies that we have always loved. And so we want to know what movies you love. We want to know what movies you want to hear us talk about. So, yeah, let us know. But anyway, we will see you next time for some Superman the movie.